This is Saskatchewan Weekend on CBC Radio 1, and I'm Shauna Powers. Today on the show, we're celebrating the Mid-Lakes region of Saskatchewan. It includes the Arm River Valley and the Three Rivers Trail. And every time you drive between Saskatoon and Regina, you pass through it. Elaine Ebenall is a farmer and educator in the area. Back in the 1980s, several area residents got together and formed a group called the Mid-Lakes Community Coalition. Elaine was part of the coalition from the start. The idea for the group was simple, but bold. When I met with Elaine, I asked her to explain.
What we were trying to do was to try and develop an awareness of the area as being bigger than each individual community, and trying to get people in all the communities in the area between the lakes and around the lakes here to work together towards developing the community, keeping the rural Saskatchewan alive, because at that point in time we were in the middle of a pretty serious farm crisis, and there was lots of concern about whether our communities and whether the people living on the farms were even going to survive at that point. And so we started off with that. We invited people from what we considered to be every part of the community, which of course probably wasn't true. We didn't likely hit everyone, but we tried. And we had a gathering of 80 to 90 people in our community hall one evening, where we just sat around in groups and we talked about what would we like our community to be in 5 years, in 10 years, and what kinds of things could we do to make that happen, and who should we involve. And we got lots of really good information about that, and we gave ourselves some goals and an objective and a mission statement, and it all related to developing community and to regionalizing things more rather than keeping it local into one or two small communities.
How challenging is it when people have been in a mindset where they are thinking more locally rather than regionally to open things up in that way?
That's probably one of the most difficult things, because I think there's always a fear that if someone else has something or takes something from us, or if we do something in one community, it'll mean something's missing from the other, rather than being able to sit down and say, okay, let's think of ourselves as one large community. There was always that fear that as soon as one town gets something, the other town won't. I think at this point we're still not really past that. We do it better than we did, and there are projects going on that are across the region and that sort of thing. It's still a fear. I guess it's sort of the same way with people. It's always a little bit of fear. You'll lose what you have if you share, or if you give to someone else, you might not get something back. And
in your opinion, what is the value of widening the circle in that way? What do you think that you gain that goes well beyond what you might lose on a case-by-case basis?
Well, I think for sure it's the support you feel when you're part of a larger group. And if you want to take action, larger groups generally get better answers, reactions, and so on, whether it's government or from other organizations than smaller groups. I think sometimes we might be able to provide services to the smaller communities if we work as a group of small communities that we might not be able to either afford or have the knowledge or expertise to get in as an individual community. One of the initial things we did in the coalition was to do an assessment of all the resources around, and tried to figure out ways that maybe we could do something like recycling, or we had some people who were doing some very minimal GIS stuff at one point, and trying to figure out how we could plan better as a regional, even just for roads and that kind of stuff. I think all of those things service-wise could maybe be provided better with a larger group than with a smaller group.
So when you started, I mean, it's a pretty lofty goal, right? It's this large goal. You're bringing people together. You have a big picture idea that you have in your mind. How do you parse it down into bite-sized pieces that you can actually be proactive with?
Well, when we did the initial planning meeting that night, we just took all the information together and we kind of sorted it into things like there was tourism in there, there was economic development in there. We had one of the things that came out as and we could maybe start working on, because communities were already looking at doing some kind of recycling together, some kind of water management in the area, because finding trained people was difficult. Maybe we could draw them together. And we kind of sorted the suggestions that came from that community group into what we thought were categories. And on the coalition itself, we set out to, we sort of divided into smaller committees on that and asked for help and tried to figure out the resources, first of all, that we already had in the region. And a number of things came out of that. One of the needs in there was support for the farming, because at that point it was middle of a real big disaster. And so we had a group of farmers and community people who were interested to see if they could provide support to the farmers who were struggling. And out of that came Debtors Anonymous, and there was a Farm and Town Self-Help group that brought in speakers and counselors. And I think what we did was we sort of made people more aware of what the issues were and the problems were, and tried to help take away some of the guilt we thought was there about farmers feeling like they were a failure when really the whole system wasn't working well. And so people who were interested in those topics took them and did what they wanted to do in them, and if they weren't interested in the other topics, that was fine. We talked one time about putting a burner by our rink in Davidson, and we had invited people out from Regina, from the university, I think it was in Regina, and some from Saskatoon, and a few local people who were interested. And again, you know, you have to have funding to do that, and there wasn't a lot of money around, so we got the information we needed and couldn't get the funding necessary to get it moving. But it created an awareness, and I think that was part of what we're trying to do. I think whenever you start development projects or bring new ideas, you have to start right at the bottom with basic awareness, and not to give up and be upset when people don't go along with you, because maybe this isn't the time and maybe we don't have all the right ideas. You sort of have to get to that point and hear what the others say too, and maybe do that.
What are some of the things you're most proud of, though? Obviously there were things that really worked. Can you talk about a couple of those?
Well, I think if you're looking for tangible projects that are here, I think, as a result, directly or indirectly, of the coalition, the IQ Center at Craik, I think the Louis Riel Trail, where we have all those statues going on, I think we work better together as communities in some areas, with some things we're doing. I think the fact that we've maintained interest, some of the people who are in the project right at the beginning are still interested in working at things in there, and that's a long haul, 20 years of trying to provide support and development in an area is a long time for people who are all volunteers, because that's the big thing. This was a totally volunteer project. When you think of all the man hours that people gave freely, and it's an amazing thing.
And what about for you personally? What do you feel like you've gained from the experience of being involved in the coalition?
I think I've met people that I wouldn't have met otherwise, and I think anytime you meet somebody new and different and unique, it opens up your mind, because there's always new ideas, and if you don't go out and if you stay always in the same spot, you don't ever get that opportunity. I just think I've always been a little open-minded, but it really has opened my mind, and I think it's helped me be less judgmental, and hopefully the whole notion of us working together will help other people think that too. There's not a right way, there's just lots of different ways maybe.
Okay, that's great. Elaine, thanks for talking to me this morning.
You're welcome. It's been fun.
Elaine Abinall was one of the founding members of the Mid-Lakes Community Coalition. Throughout the rest of today's show, you'll meet many people who were involved in that coalition, as well as some very creative offshoots that have emerged in the region. You are listening to Saskatchewan Weekend on CBC Radio 1. It's 10 minutes before 7 o'clock. Many people across North America may not have heard of the small town of Craik, but there are plenty who have heard of the town's eco-village. The eco-village and the eco-center were the brainchild of a group from the surrounding area. They call themselves the Craik Sustainable Living Project. Shirley Eid was involved with the project from the beginning. At the time, she was Craik's town administrator. When we met outside the eco-center, I first asked her where the idea for the project began.
The whole concept came up through a Mid-Lakes meeting. Lynn Oliphant from outside of Saskatoon was invited to a meeting to talk about an idea Lynn had for an eco-village. And Lynn had always had a a hope that some community in the province would pick up the idea and show how we could live more sustainably. And he'd had a few communities over the years show some interest, but when push come to shove, nothing really happened. So he came to the meeting, and we were really fortunate at the time that we had exactly the right frame of mind and leadership that we needed in the community to make something happen. So our mayor at that time was Rod Hoggerud. He invited Lynn to come to a town council meeting, and he invited the RM to join us at the council meeting. And we sat around the table, and by the time the night was over, the rural municipality said, we've got 127 acres on the edge of town here. We'll throw that up and let's see what we can do with it. So, you know, we sat down and started working. We thought, well, okay, the first thing we should do before we start an eco-village, because we really didn't know what an eco-village was come up with a focal point. So we said, let's build a sustainable building that can show people all the things we can do, and then maybe people will pick up and go from there. So we did. We got busy and hired an architect and a builder and started working on the eco-center. And at the same time, we were working on eco-village, and so the municipality took some of the land out here, subdivided off some lots, and they set up a committee, and if you wanted a lot, the lots were sold for a dollar. You had to provide a plan to the municipality of how you would live sustainably and what you would do with the land. So got a lot of pretty good ideas, and the lots started going out, but it takes time. It takes a long time, and we got some excellent families out there that have really grasped the community. They've started a Communities in Bloom group this year to try and get a little more cohesion in the community. So that was another phase. Another phase of the Creek Sustainable Living Project was education. And what we did before the Eco Center was done and after it was done, then we'd use the Eco Center, is we brought in speakers through the winter, had seminars on solar power, wind power, low-stress cattle handling, anything that people had an idea, we said, we'll find a resource person and bring them in. Things have a little bit fallen off the rails, I think. And the folks that have been working on this, we're getting really tired. You know, we all started with Midlakes, and then we branched off. You know, I was in Midlakes and the Three Rivers Trail and the CSLP. But you know what? There's a really good start for a lot of things here. It won't go away. The building's here. The eco-village is up and running. The sacred site is part of the whole thing. So I look at it as a huge success. It's one of those things that there's ups and downs in the building. Rome wasn't built in a day, and neither will Craig be. I hope there's enough of a start here that, you know, in 20 years, Craig will still be here.
What was it about the idea of this whole sustainable living project that appealed to you in particular?
I think the fact that it was environmentally friendly. I've always considered myself a bit of an environmentalist, and I could see that it was an avenue for the town, and probably, in my mind, maybe the only avenue. A small community, I mean, they're dying all around us, and we were sort of first, and nobody remembers who's second. And, you know, even if you don't keep going, you were still first. You know, we had articles in lots of Canadian magazines. Lynn Oliphant won award through the Canadian Geographic. SARM had us speak there to the other municipalities about cooperating with towns and municipalities and economic development. And we had to do our seminar twice at their thing. They said they never even had one room full, and we had standing room only twice. So there was so much interest. You know, we were just on such a crest of the wave. It was just exciting. We get phone calls and emails all the time about, how do you do it? We had municipalities and mayors come to say, how do you do this? We don't even talk to one another, and we have to do this. And you know, it just seemed like we've really started something. This is good. And I think as all that happened, it just became more exciting, and I was even more excited to be part of it.
I just did a little drive through the Eco Village before I came to the Eco Center here this morning. When you look at that community, at the people who are living there, what are some of the things that strike you as being particularly interesting?
I think the fact that they want to do it the right way. You know, we got a young family there with two kids. They homeschool for a number of reasons, but one of their boys has some medical issues, and it's just easier. But they are just so intent on bringing the boys up to appreciate nature, to appreciate having less and loving it. And the fact they just, how they've just embraced the community, they're just a joy to behold, you know. Some of the other families, we've got a lady, and I don't know Claire very well. She's right at the very beginning of the Eco Village. She's starting she does a lot of seminars. She's building a place for people to come and stay. She lives in a yurt there. She's very self-sustainable. She market gardens. She grows herbs. You see these people, they're just so happy. They're happy to just do what they're doing, and nobody's bothering them, and they're not, you know, blown away with all the technology that they don't need. They're just, I don't know, I'm inspired to think maybe, just maybe, we can bring up a generation that's not, you know,
so texting all the time.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
You've talked a little bit about, you know, some of the challenges and how, you know, those of you who were involved in it from the beginning are tired now. But if you are sort of imagining the future and thinking about, you know, your dreams about what this community can be, what would you say to me?
Oh, this community could be so many things. It's got everything people want in the summer to just get out of the city. We've got a great park. We've got water recreation, canoeing, hiking trails, great golf course, eco center. It's just a great place for people to come in the summer. In the winter, I see the town as just sitting back and relaxing and saying, okay, let's get ready for another season. What can we do to promote the things we've started? The Three Rivers Trail, the Eco Village, our communities in bloom. Just everybody being a little more on the same page. And I think this town could be just a dot on the map that was really, really important.
Thank you for talking to me. It's been a real pleasure.
Okay, thank you.
I spoke with Shirley Ead outside the Eco Center in Craik. The center was developed through the Craik Sustainable Living Project. You'll meet Shirley's husband, Austin Ead, a little later in the show.